Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to the Geek Cave Movies Podcast. I'm Darren.
Oh, we're movies. I'm back in the game again. Hi, I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
All right.
So, guys, the BBC documentary Earth.
Love it.
Came about 10 years ago.
Live
or
on
something. It was almost entirely in high definition and narrated by the absolutely amazing David Attenborough.
Yes.
Probably the second greatest narrator since Kent Harris.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
hey, Kent.
Come on.
Yeah.
Root for the home team.
Yeah.
Anyway, 10 years after the original, it's getting a sequel. It's getting a, it's going to get, and David Attenborough is coming back for it.
Woo.
To make The Blooming of Flowers the single most exciting thing on the planet. Because I don't care what he's talking about. It is suddenly amazing.
Yes.
And now we watch as the mud hardens after a long day in the sun. Riveting!
The downside
that caught me off guard a little bit.
The downside is he had to have some throat surgery, so now he sounds like Bobcat Goldthwait.
The hardening of the mud!
Now, whereas the original was filmed almost exclusively in high def at 1080p, the only part of that that wasn't was the deep sea camera work, because they didn't have high def cameras that could do deep sea. This one is supposedly being filmed almost exclusively in UHD, you know, in that 4K format. So for those of you who don't know or don't keep up on that, take your regular high-def TV and now make it so that you have four times the amount of detail.
Yeah.
And that's about the most simplistic way I can put it. It's putting four times the number of dots into the same amount of space. And so, man, that can look just absolutely spellbindingly, near nauseatingly perfect. Or if they do it wrong, it can look awful and janky. But based on their work in the previous one, I have a feeling that this may end up pushing me into the UHD TV realm, which is bothersome because the size of the room that I watch TV, the TV I have is really a little bit too big.
Just a bit.
You're gonna run out of room, man.
Well,
take out that wall.
Well, here's the thing. And for those of you listening, I have a 55-inch high-definition TV, which now is in the small section of TVs at the local Walmart.
Yeah.
But the distance I sit from it means that it's really too big for the room. 55 inches is the minimum size to really be able to see a difference between high def and 4K or ultra high def, which means that if I really want to notice what's going on, I have to get a bigger TV. But the room that it's in, I don't think it will fit. I mean, you think
through
about
the door.
Yeah.
Well, because you think about it, that if we're sitting, you know, 6 to 8 feet away, and suddenly you need a 75-inch TV in order to be able to take advantage of this ultra high def, well, suddenly IMAX what? I just wait for it on Blu-ray and watch it at home. It's the same thing. Long way around to saying I'm excited that they're using the ultra high def format. I don't know how many people are going to really be able to take advantage of it and see the advantage of it without getting really large format TVs.
Yeah.
So Ben Affleck, you know, going to be Batman in Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice.
Yep. Affleck
also has been confirmed for Suicide Squad, Justice League 1, yep. Justice League 2.
Yeah.
Apparently, he's rumored to be co-writing the solo Batman movie that he is, I think, also executive producing and might end up directing.
At this point, surprise, Batman's in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 as well.
Yeah.
But,
That's Star-Lord's father.
They said it'd be a surprise.
But take this as the rumor it is, but he's supposedly writing it with Geoff Johns.
I could get behind that.
Okay.
So, a solo Batman movie with a guy who, yeah.
He knows DC. He knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Knows what he's doing. So, speaking of Justice League 1, it has a working title now.
Mm-hmm.
The title is Caveman. So the internet is abuzz with thinking that...
Vandal Savage.
...that the title is giving us a hint that, yeah, the Vandal Savage will be the villain. You know, I'm still pulling for Starro, but...
That'd be great.
But Savage would be good, too.
However,
you have to root for the home team.
Root for the home team.
DC has this habit, though, of cannibalizing their TV shows for the movies. Mm-hmm. So I guess that would really change up what Legends of Tomorrow's goal is. if Vandal Savage all of a sudden, you know, bleh, he's dead, and then he shows up on the movie screen.
Hmm.
Kind of like the Suicide Squad in Arrow.
So
it's not a spoiler. It's been out long enough.
So Sonic the Hedgehog's getting a live-action / CG movie.
Oh, Who Framed Sonic the Hedgehog? Cool.
We here at the Geek Cave offer our collective...
Also, our condolences to any Sonic fans who are still alive.
So, all two of you. A Chinese company called the Dailan Wanda Group has... Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Sounds great.
They bought Legendary Pictures, the movie studio, for $3.5 billion. Now, what does this mean for us? It means that Pacific Rim 2 is back on the menu.
Yes!
Yay!
Legendary canceled it or put it on indefinite.
Let's punch the monsters in the face!
Hiatus, because, you know, no money. But this other group apparently has said, no.
Let's do it.
Giant Monsters vs. Robots has an opportunity to make more money, and maybe we can bring in some aliens and...
Yeah.
All will be well and right with the world.
Oh, that reminds me. Ultraman has a new toy, and it comes with a destructible city that you can... that's his collector's stand is a destructible city
nice.
That you can put him and a monster in. Carry on. I just thought
that's
fit.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, if I say the name Nicholas Meyer, you will probably look at me with fairly blank stares. He directed Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. And Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Nicholas Sparks. I was wondering.
No. Nicholas Meyer.
All right. That's better.
He also.
I'm like, why did you groan?
I retract that groan. Hold on a second.
There you go.
He also wrote the screenplays for Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, and Star Trek VI. So he wrote and directed Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country. And he's now joined CBS Television Studios for the new Star Trek series that's coming to CBS All Access in 2017.
Oh, CBS All Access.
As a consulting producer and writer. And I heard this and I'm like, okay, well, he knows how to direct a good Star Trek and a bad Star Trek. but he only knows how to write bad Star Trek. So...
Well, at least it's only on All
Access.
Okay,
Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home has its supporters.
I'm looking for a nuclear vessel.
I'm not going to put that down. It's certainly not my favorite, but
it's silly.
It's got whales. What's not to love?
It's fine.
It's fine. This is fine. It really is. Honestly, I'm intrigued to see how this CBS All Access thing is going to work out.
It's been around for a while.
Well, yes, but this is going to be the first show. Star Trek is going to be the first show that's
exclusive to it, yeah.
Exclusive to CBS All Access. It's going to have a worldwide premiere right on CBS, but then every episode after that behind the All Access paywall.
I can guarantee you I will not see any episode beyond the first one then.
Well, and that's kind of, I think, where I'm going to end up because I don't pay for television.
Right.
I
Especially not from like one of the major broadcast networks.
Yeah.
Broadcast.
So, so it is what it is. You know, the news couched into commentary, I suppose.
Yeah.
So, people are just now realizing that the Oscars are about as racially diverse as the United States presidency. Thank you for that joke, by the way, Justin.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
There's plenty of snark on the internet regarding this situation. I have little
hashtag Oscar so white.
I have little to nothing original to add, so we'll just leave that there without other comment.
Presented without comment.
J.J. Abrams, who is also doing the third Star Trek movie. And I don't have.
I thought he was off of that.
Was he off of it now?
Yeah, I thought he left it to do
or
Star Wars.
Produced it, or he's involved somehow.
Okay.
Anyway, we saw the Star Trek Beyond preview.
Beyond.
My spouse and I, and they blow up the Enterprise again.
As you do.
It's tradition. Yeah.
And we started asking ourselves, why do they keep giving Kirk ships?
Seriously.
He really should not have them because
the mutinous bastard just
them.
Took the first one. We know by the JJ verse.
Well, actually, and he just takes it according to the original motion picture too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's just like, I'm Admiral and I'm taking it. Peace. Congratulations, first officer. Wait, what?
Deal with it.
Anyway, so other J.J. Abrams news, he said that Star Wars will have gay characters. Now, this is my question. Why is this coming across my feed as news?
Yeah. We've had this discussion before.
I'm reporting what I've got, but trying to not get political. Why should I care who a bunch of aliens love?
Yeah, I don't care.
Because even Han, Luke, Luke, Leia, you know, Daisy, Finn, so on and so forth. They may look human,
but they're not.
They're still alien.
Yeah, they're humanoid.
So, what does it matter?
I don't care.
Yeah. So we're gonna stop caring some more. So, Sam Raimi slated to helm a movie called World War III. It is a movie based on the book The Next 100 Years. Have you guys read or heard of this?
No.
No.
Okay. The Next 100 Years is a book by George Friedman. And George Friedman's job is to look and research at the past and present in order to predict the future. He gets paid to predict the future.
Nice.
And doesn't have to call himself a crackpot. psychic. The gist of the book, and I'm assuming of the movie, politics is going to stay awful, but the major players of worldwide politics will change.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, the power base will shift as it must.
Clearly,
you
know, yeah.
So, such that it is. The fact that Sam Raimi's coming back to movies after having been in TV recently, you know, with Ash versus the Evil Dead, with some of these things, it's kind of nice to see him going back to the big screen. I like the kind of stories that he tells, and the way that he does it makes sense to me. So, all right. Hail Caesar's good. I went and saw it with my spouse.
Oh, the George Clooney one.
Yes, yeah, George Clooney movie. It is, in short, it's a love letter to the studio system of Hollywood. It takes place in 1951. And at the same time that it's showing some of the good of that studio system, it's also showing some of its silliness, some of its dark side of that system, because the studio held an iron grip over everyone and everything that was part of that. I mean, the way the studio system worked is you were contracted with that studio. You had to do whatever they said in terms of movies. And then they owned the theaters as well. And so they could just keep going. It follows a studio fixer as he kind of deals with a couple of days worth of issues and problems. It works well. It is not the Coen brothers' finest. It's never going to unseat Fargo.
Right.
As, you know, as their best work. I would say it's probably better than Hudsucker Proxy. Not as good as Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Somewhere in there. It's almost as though... Think of it in terms of you have the smartest students in the room are given an essay.
Yeah.
And rather than actually working on it, they just kind of half-ass it. It makes sense. It tells the story. It does what it's supposed to do. But you can't help thinking that it really could have been a lot better. That's kind of where it is. Everything clicks into place. But in the end, it doesn't have the stick-with-you pop that says, man, this is going to be something that people watch for another 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
I mean, Big Lebowski, for its myriad flaws, was such a great kind of story in the way that it was told that people are still raving about it. So anyway, Fuller House is now a thing.
It's fine.
At least that's what everyone seems to be saying and eventually screaming as the show goes on, because it starts out and it's fine. You see the house and Danny Tanner comes in and everybody laughs and claps and cheers and it's fine. And then Jesse comes down and everybody cheers. It's fine. And then Joey comes up from downstairs. It's fine. And his Bugs Bunny pajamas. It's fine. This is Full House. This is what Full House is supposed to be. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. And then you have DJ come in and Stephanie come in and Kimmy Gibbler come in and Lori Loughlin looking still absolutely amazing coming.
She's
in.
Fine.
She's fine. And everything's fine. The jokes are fine and people are laughing and they're making all the references to what's happening and it's fine. It's fine. This is what Full House is supposed to be. Don't you remember Full House? Don't you remember how much fun this was? This is fine. Fine. You hear me? I love this. Man, TGIF was amazing. It's fine.
And Chad went on for a while, so we just cut that a little bit short. Sorry about that. It's fine. You feel better?
Yeah. I'm okay. I'm good. A little disappointed. There was some really great stuff after you turned me down, but
yeah, that went for another 10 minutes though. So
yeah, but you kind of flipped the table.
Yeah, I was going to be an expensive soundboard. Dang it.
But it's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
You got anything else?
Just one. We'll talk a little bit about Deadpool, of course.
Yeah.
Suffice to say that it's been quite a rousing success in the movie houses. Ding.
Bully for them.
And rightfully so. It's a fine movie. I mean, it really is. And fine in an unironic sense in this
yes.
case. The acting is on point. The story is beautiful in its simplicity.
Love stories go, yes.
The action is choreographed very well. The humor, I think, is pretty well on point for the Deadpool comic character.
Definitely.
You know, it doesn't feel like they had to force the issue.
Oh, yeah. I think that really well done.
I think that we're going to really... It's going to age very poorly because of so many of
all the references, yeah.
Because of so many of the references and the wall breaks are kind of special too.
Yeah.
To the now and to really people our age who've been watching since Iron Man. Well, have been watching since X-Men 1, really. But it's good. It's a very good movie. It does what it's supposed to do. Did what it needed to do in order to bring this character into kind of the popular mind. It's rated R. It earns it.
Yeah.
In a few places. And it's fine in terms of that. It's okay. You know, I don't mind watching R-rated movies. if I minded watching R-rated movies, that would suddenly mean that about a third of my movie collection would be unwatchable.
Well,
you couldn't watch your favorite Christmas movie.
Some of your movies are unwatchable, but for different reasons.
That's true, too.
Not for ratings.
Yeah.
So, Hollywood, of course, is taking some of the wrong lessons from this. Let's just go ahead and get into it. turns out Wolverine 3 is now looking to be rated R.
Yep, of course.
BVS DOJ, a.k.a. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice, a.k.a. BVS DOJ, will feature an R-rated director's cut. So let's round table this crapola, fellas.
I liked how they said, oh no, our plan for Wolverine 3 was always to be rated R.
Really?
That's what they've been saying, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
On one hand, certain movies like Deadpool, yeah, you gotta do rated R to really do justice to what their ideas are for the plot. But on the other hand, I just don't want every superhero. I mean, Superman is a prime example. Superman is supposed to be the most family-friendly superhero. You know, he's the one everyone looks up to. He's the one that inspires millions. So let's do
the Boy Scout.
So let's do an R-rated cut.
What?
Yeah. That's my fear.
I don't think we'll have to fear that as much.
I don't know. This is DC we're talking about. They don't seem to make very smart movie choices.
Not lately. I will grant that. But I think that some of that backlash, because how do you make an R-rated Superman movie? Suddenly have Superman going off the rails and cussing like a sailor?
Well,
or do you have him suddenly, you know, lasering through people?
Batman v Superman is technically a Superman movie still. Superman's in the title.
Yeah, so
and
is Batman.
It's going to be an R-rated one. Fine, why would you make an R-rated Batman movie?
The dude is terrifying.
He is terrifying.
I could make an argument for an R-rated Batman movie a whole lot easier than I could Superman.
I mean, that's fair. Just based, for the violence.
Yeah, that's true.
Just based on the horror elements.
That's true, yeah.
What if you were to follow a Batman movie, a Joker Batman movie? Okay, so we'll go with the two of the most terrifying characters in the universe, in the DC universe. And instead of following either one of them, you follow the henchmen and the beat police cops. What does that world look like? How horrifying is that? What kind of mood is that as your beat cop, you know, he and his partner go to check out a disturbance at a warehouse?
Yeah.
Only to walk in and all you hear is walking in is, you know.
God, what is Krusty the Clown doing here?
But you get it.
I get it. Yeah, it's terrible.
Or you see the henchman who's, you know, supposed to be guarding this, that, or the other, and always seeing the shadows of the bat in the window.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that they quick cut things.
Well, your compatriots are disappearing one by one.
I can make the argument for an R-rated Batman without ever needing to show blood, gore, or violence.
That's fair. True, that's fair.
Superman operates in the light.
Yeah.
I mean, to make him R-rated means suddenly having to do something really grotesque to his character.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman, as much as Superman's in the title and they may have started it being a Superman movie, it's a Batman movie. Unless I would say 51% of this is happening in the daytime.
Yeah.
This is a Batman movie.
Yeah. Everything I've seen in the previews, I mean, we get shots of the Batcave. We get shots of Bruce and Alfred talking. We get, you know, I mean, it's...
Right.
This is at night. This is in the rain and the mud.
And the dark.
Yeah. I don't really like seeing that as much. I would love to see, you know, it being more in the light, but even the... I mean, because the stuff that they show in the light is
shaded and...
Is a little jaded and shaded.
No, I meant shaded, washed out, you know.
Oh, but it's
gloomy.
Also, but it's also... It's stuff that makes sense to me for a Superman.
Everything's overcast.
When they show in the daytime, you know, Superman going to Congress.
Yeah.
That makes sense. You know, that actually makes perfect sense for a Superman...
Right, he would do that.
...movie and this kind of thing is he has to go and answer these very serious questions. Superman would stand up and do that.
Yeah.
That's a PG-rated thing to do. Superman trying to punch Batman's head off.
Not so much.
Not so much. That's a in the dark Batman scary thing. Anyway, the studios are taking the wrong tack if they think that R rating, you know, movies like that is the right choice. My opinion.
Yeah.
There are movies that would benefit from it.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad would benefit from an R rating.
Mm-hmm.
You're following villains. Villains should be able to be bad.
Yeah.
Villains should be able to be evil. Let's see what else I have written here. Deadpool, I could see it as a PG-13 movie. I really could. I think that doing so, they would have had to make it a joke early on, where they come out and Deadpool's like, Deadpool just walks out on a white stage. So, you know, there's nothing around. He's like, "Hi there, I'm Deadpool. And I'm told that there's a whole bunch of whittle bitty kids in the audience, so you can't hear any motherfucking swearing. Oops, there's my one." As he,
yeah,
as he covers his mouth, very childlike. "I guess the rest of this movie, we're just going to have to figure something out, aren't we?" And so every other time, you know, that he's supposed to, that he wants to cuss or something, "Son of a chimichanga's wrapped up used paper wrapper."
Yeah, that would work.
Just kind of a, you know, to make it such an obvious dig at the PG-13 thing, you know, and to go through and you could do all the violence all the while commenting, "Gee, I just cut that guy practically in two. Where was the blood? This is ridiculous." You know, I could see it working.
I could get behind it.
The way that they made the movie, I'm glad they did it.
Yeah.
I'm glad they made the movie the way they did. And the R rating is perfectly appropriate for it. I don't think it would have lost any humor by being in PG-13.
It would have just been a little different.
Yes. And there's nothing wrong with different.
No.
But what we got was pretty great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. Yeah.
So $150 million over its initial three-day weekend, I think.
Yeah,
is what
they only spent like $47 million to make it.
So we're going to get a sequel.
Yeah, clearly.
I'm a little concerned about the sequel. Not going to lie. I feel like I'm kind of worried we're going to get the Bill and Ted effect.
Mm, yeah.
You know, where you have this really great thing that does something new, and it does that new thing very well.
So let's do it again and again and again.
So what do you do the second time? You've got to do something, either try to do something new again.
Or do the same thing.
Or do the same thing.
Bigger.
And bigger. And how do you make that movie bigger and still make sense?
Yeah, good question.
So.
I don't know. As long as we get Keira Knightley as Cable.
did you guys by chance watch the parallel Ferris Bueller Deadpool?
No. But I should.
It's almost a shot for shot remake.
Oh, I'm
of
not
the
surprised.
Closing.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, spoilers, by the way, if you haven't seen the end credits of Deadpool yet. But you should have by now. So
you can look them up online. They're there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I got.
All right.
I think. Yeah, that's what I got.
Okay. All right. Good talk. Justin, anything for movies?
Nope, they're fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
We should probably explain that other than, like, Chad's rant. We're having a little contest. If you can tell us how many it's fines, more or less, you'll win a prize. But that's across all three episodes, so good luck.
It'll be fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine. And that includes variations, like mostly fine or it's fine or it'll be fine. So basically look for the word fine, really.
Who's your favorite Three Stooges? Larry Fine.
Yeah. Hashtag, yeah, and just tweet it at us, hashtag it's fine. And that's at DTA Podcast on Twitter. All right. Again, thank you to our sponsors, GameStop, BuzzTime, and Shirtosaurus. Thanks to Kent Harris, who always does a fantastic job. And thanks to you guys for showing up.
You're fine.
Oh, I know it. be sure to check us out on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, and of course, DKPodcast.com. We'll see you next month. Don't forget also, look us up on extra-life.org. Help us out with our Extra Life campaign. And we'll see you guys in a month. Remember, everyone's a geek for something.